Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galati. He is Andy Shea. Andy, we were chatting before we got started. It's going to be a big golf week for you. That makes it a great week, doesn't it?
Makes it great. A lot of fun stuff coming up in the next week. Between this show and when we record the next show, I got a full plate and I'm excited.
And you should be. And you know what, Andy? Next week, we're going to see some 80-degree weather around here.
I know. So,
even better. All right. Before we get to our topic of the day,
sure.
I want to take care of some old business, okay?
Uh-oh.
I was out golfing this week with my buddy Craig, all right? Craig's an avid listener to the show. He didn't like your critique of my golf game last week. He said you were too brutal with me. So I'm just throwing it out there. Not looking to discuss it.
Right,
I'm just
Jimmy,
relaying
buddy.
The information. That's was all, it, Andy.
Was it wrong?
He thinks it is. I'm not going to litigate it myself right here. Next time I'll somehow get you and Craig in the same room. You could have that discussion, okay? So let's set the golf aside. Let's talk some football because I don't want to hear your response. So let's move on. Andy, for those who missed it, Andy was okay. Brutally honest in his assessment of my golf game last week. All right, let's move on, Andy. Let's talk about this 2026 Penn State football team. And one of the narratives going on, Andy, is how many players are coming in from Iowa State? Is this team really the same as Iowa State from a year ago? It's Ames, Iowa East. And, you know, I'm not sure that's a fair assessment. And I thought what we could do, Andy, and I'll let you respond to that, though, in general, is just take a look at the Penn State returning players that we're going to see this coming season. Go ahead.
So I understand the narrative. It has to be this way in the modern game a little bit. I think we'll show today, this is still a very blended family. Right. However, I think the reason the narrative comes out like this is, you know, Ames East is at some of the marquee positions, quarterback, running back, tight end, right? Wide receiver, offensive side of the ball. There's a ton of Iowa State transfers on that side of the ball in key positions, right? So those are the names and stuff you're going to hear. There's still, as we're going to show you today, so stick with us and listen to all four quarters because we're going to give you some good stuff. There's still some Penn State meat on the bone, right? And we're going to show you that. But this is, it's still the Brady Bunch. It's still three boys and three girls, Jimmy. It's pretty even. It's blended, right? It is fairly even. There isn't any real elite leftover Penn State talent on the bone. In other words, there's not a top three round draft pick right now as you look at it. But, you know, you don't see one or say, yeah, that guy's definitely that. Could there be? Sure. But is there one right now? No, there's not. There's not much elite talent left. And that's what Matt sort of inherited when he took the job was, all right, I have talent here. There's some leftover talent from Penn State. There's definitely some meat on the bone, but I've got to supplement this in order for us to be competitive in 2026 and not be, you know, a 4-18 or a, you know, 5-17. We need more. And this is what I am looking at. So it's still a blended family. I think the narrative is accurate, but not wholly, is not the whole picture. I think it's accurate, but it's not the whole picture. If you say offense, yeah, it's Ames East. However, overall, the entire team, I don't see it as, you know, Ames East. I see it as more, it's blended, and I think let's get busy showing them that there's some Penn State meat on the bone here from talent that was left over after James Franklin was fired and departed for Virginia Tech.
You know, Andy, you make a lot of good points. I do want to, before we go position by position looking at these players, I want to respond to a couple things you said. Number one, the lack of elite players on this team. I think that's completely accurate. You know, there's nobody here that you say, hey, that's going to be a first-round draft pick. You know, Abdul Carter is not getting set to walk into this room, okay? Right. And, you know, last season, despite it turning out to be just the one first-rounder, Vega Ioane, in the NFL draft, there were a lot of guys that underperformed, but you could see were still potentially star players. You know, like the Denai Dennis Suttons, Nick Singleton, Drew Aller, names like that. So I do think, though, even if there had been no coaching change, James Franklin returning, was there going to be any elite player, Penn State elite returning player?
No. They did. I mean, not Grunkmeyer, not Luke Reynolds left. I can safely say, okay, three rounds might be a stretch. If James Franklin was still here and it was his roster, he doesn't have a first or second round draft pick elite player that you can spot and say, yep, that's it on this roster going into 2026. So therefore, Matt doesn't have one.
Right. I think the point is there was no superstar who left this team because James Franklin left.
No, and not in my opinion. I don't think there's any superstars left.
No, and again, if you look at the nature of last year's team, was the narrative was all the players who stuck around for right. that opportunity to win a national championship. And again, you know, the names that I mentioned, Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, Katron Allen, Denai Dennis Suttons, Zane Durant. These were all guys who came back and were all, if not, you know, first or second round picks, they were NFL draft caliber players.
Correct.
And they were all gone. This was a team that was, if not a rebuild, we're certainly going to be a reset for this coming season anyway. Okay. So I think it's important to point out that lack of star quality player, isn't because, oh, gee, all the superstars left with James Franklin. The other thing I do want to point out, and you expressed it well, but I still have to say it in my words. You know, you talked about there's accuracy to Ames, Iowa East, you know, the coaching staff. And you made the great point that in prime positions, at quarterback, at wide receiver, at running back, at tight end, we're seeing Iowa State players transfer in. But I also think it's an easy, lazy narrative to just say, oh, look, here's 20-some players from Iowa State, so this is the Iowa State team. They're well represented, Andy, but they're not the only story to this team, and I think we're going to go through examining that. Let's get to it, Andy. Let's start at a position where there are no returning Penn State players. That's that quarterback. And it's Rocco Beck, backup Alex Mansky, Ethan Grunkmeyer, and anyone else from the Penn State quarterback room is gone, Andy.
It's Ames East. Yeah, the quarterback yes. room is Ames East. There's no – that's the position that Matt Campbell identified when he took the Penn State job. That was priority one for him to fill with his guys. It's clear now. Brought a starting quarterback, brought his freshman, true freshman who was a backup last year in to be a backup, right? That's in today's quarterback market in the NIL, that's a long walk home. So yes, is quarterback position Ames East 100%. He brought his offensive coordinator. Hello. Bang. That's it. That's all. It's not going to have any Penn State flavor. It's not going to have any Penn State taste. It's the guys that Matt brought in, and they are now your Penn State quarterbacks.
But I think it's important to point out here, Andy, sometimes I think we confuse B following A was caused by A, or was it? And what I mean by that is, I think this was a conscious decision, not saying, hey, we don't like Ethan Grunkmeyer. And it wasn't necessarily a conscious decision. Ethan Grunkmeyer didn't like Penn State. I think this was a situation where Matt Campbell decided, you know what, Rocco Beck is my best opportunity to win in year one.
He said, this is what we need. And it had nothing to do with Ethan Grunkmeyer. It literally didn't. It was like, I don't even think Matt entertained the idea of ever keeping Ethan as a quarterback from the time he was hired as the Penn State coach. In other words, the reason I say it had nothing to do with Ethan, there wasn't any comparisons made of, these are my two guys. This is the biggest need I identify and position I identify as a new Penn State head coach. This is what I think we need the most. I'm going to get both of them if I can. And he did.
Yes. And again, that's where I don't think it was Ethan Grunkmeyer saying, I don't want to be at Penn State. I don't want to play for Matt Campbell. Correct. If Rocco Beck were out of eligibility, I suspect Ethan Grunkmeyer would be the quarterback this year.
He would at least be competing for it, I would think. Yes, absolutely. I think he would have been, that his need would have been much higher, right? He didn't, it's not that Matt didn't want to entertain the idea of Ethan Grunkmeyer. He didn't need to. That's more important.
Right. He didn't. This was not a case of Ethan Grunkmeyer leaving, so Matt Campbell went and got Rocco back. This was Matt Campbell going out and getting Rocco back and Ethan Grunkmeyer reacting to that. So I think that's the way that went. All right, Andy, that is it for quarter number one. I know we only hit the quarterback position. We're going to hit the rest as soon as we come back, Andy. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Andy. It's quarter number two. Just again, for a point of full disclosure, in between segments, Andy reprimanded me for talking about quarterbacks when our topic is returning Penn State players, and there's no returning Penn State players at quarterback. I thought it was important to address, Andy. I'm sorry. Let's move on where we do have Penn State players coming back. Let's stay on the offensive side of the ball. Let's go to running back. And, you know, Catron Allen moved on. Nick Singleton moved on. It was obvious it's going to be new things in the running back room. Carson Henson from Iowa State was coming over. I was a little bit surprised that we had someone like Quentin Martin returning. He was someone who pretty much sat all season, got his opportunity in the bowl game, played very well, Andy. Quentin Martin is coming back.
So I think – I feel strongly that this coaching staff helped Quentin Martin understand that in this offense, there is a, that they feel strongly that there is a role for him. I think three running backs is their priority, and they're going to use and mix and match them. They're not going to be a one-trick pony. That, sure, you ride a hot hand, but I don't say that they have a horse, right? They don't. Last year, you had two horses, right? They don't have one horse. So I think they convinced Quentin that there is a role. I could be wrong, and they might just be a two-back team. I really don't see then the value proposition for Quentin staying at Penn State. I think the coaching staff sat him down and made a pitch to him. I still feel strongly in this offense without a horse that the three you have are better than any one horse. And they have options. So I think Quentin provides them the most dual options. Like, I think Peoples is he's just a running back, right? You can catch the ball out of the backfield, but I think Quentin Martin provides you a little bit of everything, nothing elite, but a little bit of everything to dabble him around and do different things with him. So I think it's going to be a three-back show. I think it's spread out. It could be, and it functions best when it's spread a little more equally because you don't have a horse. So do I think the Iowa State transfer and the Ohio State transfer players are going to play a role? Yes, significant roles. Do I think Quentin Martin will? Yes, and I think in the end it could end up being significant if this offense is functioning and being successful.
Yeah, I agree, Andy. I think Quentin Martin is part of the plan at running
back. I do too. Yeah, I agree.
You know, in this day and age where you need minimum two running backs, and
minimum.
We saw how it can work with two horses, as you put it. I think you need a third. Running backs get beat up. Even if it's not, you know, major injury, they're going to be out for 4 or 5 games. Just it could be out for 1 game. It could be out for a quarter or a half. You know, they get shaken up. I think you need that third running back. And I think he can be – we saw enough. I saw enough in that bowl game. I really like Quentin Martin. I think he can be a real factor here, Andy. And I think he's going to get be given every opportunity. And this is with – I think Hansen is the guy that they know what they have with him. They've had right. him. He's consistent.
They know exactly what box to put him in.
Right. Peoples is a hot, high ceiling kind of guy.
Correct.
And I think Quentin Martin could be a high ceiling kind of guy also.
Yeah, you said I think they convinced Quentin Martin there's a role for him, or you know that they think he plays a role. I think he plays a role in this offense. I think this offense is coming up short. If he's not, as you know, if you want to put it 1, 2, 3, if he's not one of the three running backs contributing, I think this offense is shortchanging itself.
I believe so too. Also, I want to throw in Cam Wallace did return. Surprised me a little bit because he's probably at best to start number 4 in the depth chart. But I was glad to see him back. I think there's something there. All right. Let's go to the tight end position. You know, Andy, another one of my favorite positions. Andrew Rapoyer came back. Luke Reynolds did not. I think this is, again, another situation where we know we're actually bringing in 3 guys from Iowa State, 2 that will probably be playing, 1 a development guy. I think it came down to only 1 of the 2 between Rapoyer and Reynolds is coming back. I'm not going to say, gee, right decision, wrong decision, but I'm pretty happy Andrew Rapoyer is back.
So I think this was a value proposition. This was a money decision. You know, some of these decisions are based on money, right? I think they weren't going to keep both Penn State guys, right? They weren't going to keep both. They were going to either bring in 2 or 3. They got all 3. Right. So they definitely are not going to keep both because they can't spend that much money on that position. They just simply can't. They're, you know, the general manager of the, you know, the roster management guy is going to be like, no, you can't spend that much money at tight end. That's not a good value prop. They had to pick one. I'm not saying Andrew was the cheaper of the two. That's not what I'm saying by any stretch of the man. They had to decide which one they were going to put assets into, and they chose him. And it was easier for Luke to go and leave than it would have been for him to stay. So I think he made the decision as well. But I think from the coaching staff perspective, they chose Andrew.
Yes, Andy, they did. And it's good to bring up that there's a financial aspect to this building a roster now.
Okay. Yep, 100%.
And decisions have to be made somewhere. And again, we don't have this inside information, but it's also, what was Rapoulier going to cost you? What was Reynolds going to cost you? How much was each Iowa State tight end going to cost you?
Going to cost you. Yep.
And that's all part of the equation when making a decision. But speaking about on the field, though, I believe Andrew Rapoulier will be a major part of this tight end room, and he's going to be on the field a lot.
He's a good blocker, and more than anything else, he's a solid tight end. He is a weapon in the red zone, right? He is that red zone weapon, and you need it. They might have two of them, right? They might have two at that position that are red zone weapons. He is one of them, and he's a good blocker. So that's the reliable part of it, right? Like, he's a consistent, reliable blocker. Oh, and he's a weapon in the red zone. He's not an integral part of this offense. Does that make sense? I don't see him as an integral functioning part of this offense as a tight end. I see him as a contributing part of this offense as a tight end between their goal line and the opponent's 20. He's a contributor. Inside the 20, he's an asset weapon. You got to use him.
Well, I see the tight end position as being a major part of this offense. And Rapoulier will be a major part of the tight end room. You know, so you're splicing it down to that. But I do think he'll be a major part. I think he'll be like, you know, there'll be a 1 and 1A at tight end with Brommer there also. And I think Andrew Rapoulier will be that guy. They'll play a lot of two tight ends. Rapoulier will be there. All right. Wide receiver. This, oh, Andy, boy, is where, hey, they were losing everybody anyway. Okay. They were losing. So this was going to be, no matter what, a rebuilt room. And if you were to name a guy from the returning players in that Penn State room last year, Kobe Howard, I think, is the guy you would want to have return, and he's coming back.
He is coming back. True freshman last year, found his way into 9 games, started 4 of them, whatever that means. You know, you mix and match receivers. 7 catches, 133 yards, no touchdowns. Nothing to write home about, Jimmy. He clearly wasn't a primary target when he did player start. He wasn't. This is about as far as I want to go at the wide receiver position, Jimmy. I'm sorry. These are shark-infested waters for me until late September or early October. Potential. It exists. What you have seen so far, you know, to quote Shania Twain, that don't impress me much. So it is a position that I need to see a ton more out of. And he is a Penn State guy that played last year. That was a rarity, right? With all the transfers in that room. So he showed enough to get himself on the field. He wasn't super productive, but he showed enough to get him on the field. That's a flash as a first-year player. Can he build on that and become more? Sounds like it's going to have a pretty good quarterback that kind of suits some of his needs. However, right now, that don't impress me much. And you could ask me that about any wide receiver, and I'd say the same thing. I'm like, I am not going there in any way, shape, or form until I see 3 or 4 games out of this group.
Well, like we said, Andy, there was nobody the wide receiver room was not impressive last year.
Or the year before.
Yes. They brought in three transfers last year. They underperformed.
Yep, generally.
It was another disappointment. Kobe Howard was the new guy in the room. And, in fact, we didn't – what little we saw of him came mostly in the second half of the season with when Terry Smith took over. Okay?
Yep.
So, you know, they talked about him a lot, that this was a talented player, but they didn't get him on the field and they didn't target him.
If he can get open 2 out of 5 times, Jimmy, then that impresses me much. That's for the Penn State wide receivers. That's a big step forward to be able to get open and available 2 out of 5 times on a consistent basis. That's a huge step forward as a Penn State wide receiver right now. And that's not an indictment of him. That's talking about the room in general and the position in the last 3 years.
Andy, I think the point is this was a room that was going to be rebuilt no matter what.
Correct.
And correct. They were able to rebuild it with some Iowa State guys. But here's a guy returning who I think it will be a factor.
He will be a factor. He will be part of the equation. There is no doubt about that, sir.
He will. All right, Andy, that is it for quarter number 2. Coming up, your favorite segment. We're going to take your questions and ask Andy. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. This is quarter number 3, which we call Ask Andy. We take your questions for Andy. And he gives you a fantastic answer every single time. No pressure. Right. All right, Andy, let's start with Matt from Massachusetts. He says, Jim and Andy, do you foresee another expansion to the college football playoffs? How soon and why?
The why is money. Yes, I do see an expansion. And I see it, 26th? I see it probably for the 2028 season, maybe 2029, but 2020, it's just too much money. The why is the money. I think they got a lot of work to do. We're not going to go into that in depth on to the who, what's, where's, when's, and why's, and how far they do expand. That's a different topic of conversation. To keep it simple, Matt, yes, they're going to expand it. The why is money, and I feasibly see that happening sooner than later. 2028 would probably be my first stretch year. 2029 might be more likely, but let's just say this. They're not going to get to 2030 and not have expanded these college football playoffs.
The why obviously is money, and there's some more details that go into that. And I don't know if it might even be quicker than what you're saying, Andy. I think the bigger question is, do they expand from 12 to 16 or to 24? 16 is the logical number. However,
24 is a greedy pig.
It is. But here's the money factor part of it, besides just additional games. Is I believe it's through up to 16 teams, ESPN owns all the rights to it. If it gets to 24, television rights could be dispersed. More people could get involved, like Fox. Fox is in bed with the Big Ten. The Big Ten is pushing for 24 teams. That's exactly the same as saying Fox is pushing for 24 teams. So that's the other factor in all of this. All right. Let's go to Bill in Millersburg, who says, I don't think I've ever been so unsure about how a Penn State team will do than I am this season. I can see anything from 5-7 to 11-1. What is your prediction, and what is your reasoning for being optimistic or pessimistic in your prediction? In parentheses, he says, by the way, I'm predicting Jim will be more optimistic.
Yeah, shocking. Bill, you know, touch them all. You're 100% right. There's a couple factors. Blended, new coaching staff, Iowa State East. We already addressed that and talked about it in quarter one. It is, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, legitimate. This is the Big Ten. It is the it is not Ames, Iowa. So all of those factors. Here's some football things. And I'll give you a number, Bill. Sure. They don't have any, we said it in quarter one, they don't have any elite NFL draftable talent, right? Like, do they have a top 100 draft pick? So you're getting three rounds right there. Do they have a top 100 player? Maybe one. If you dig deep and scratch and claw and, you know, get your spade in the ground and dig up some dirt, maybe, but they don't. So that is a factor. They're going to have to be stronger than any one player. They have a favorable schedule. That's got to be a factor in this. 11-1, no. 10 wins would be massively overperforming. 9 wins would be overperforming. I think 8 wins is an acceptable valuable number based on the factors of lack of elite talent. It could be 9 wins or could even be 10 wins because of the schedule, who they don't play, not who they play, who they don't play more than anything. And we'll get into that closer to the season, obviously, but I go 8-4 and say that is acceptable to above par or better than par. 9 is overperforming, 10 is massively overperforming, 11's unrealistic, and 12 ain't going to happen.
Andy, the schedule is a major factor to this. The over-under set by Vegas is actually 9.5 for this team. How much of that is based on the schedule? Let me tell you, Ohio State is a much better team than this Penn State team. Their over-under is also set at 9.5.
Correct.
Which is essentially, it's about the schedule. In my mind, this team will be a solid favorite in 9 out of the 12 games. The 3 they're not is at Washington and at Michigan. On the road, I think at Washington because they have to go to the West Coast. We know how that works. The home game, the toughest home game is USC. Remember, they're traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast. Similar issues there. I think they lose to Washington and Michigan on the road, Andy. And, you know, I think the USC game could determine, you know, 9-3 or 10-2. It's optimistic, no. But I think they lose.
They don't have enough talent to out-roster anybody, so they're going to lose. They're going to instinctively lose games. They might be right in them. Just say they're going to lose 3 games where a team's roster out is better than theirs. Right? Well, they don't play many of them. Right? They don't play many elites.
I think their roster is as good as Washington's, but playing it on the West Coast. I think, you know, I don't know if the roster is as good as USC's, but they're playing that at home and USC is traveling across the country. So I think that's why. But can they lose another game somewhere else? Yeah. So that's why I'm thinking 9-3, Andy. All right. Here's Jason in Arlington. Andy, which of these statements are you more aligned with regarding Matt Campbell's recruiting?
I am
trusting he is bringing in the right guys despite the star rating. Or he isn't going to be winning any championships anytime soon with these 3-star players he's bringing in.
So I've always been on the side of you've got to give him time because he lost. He already had a blown up recruiting class when he took the job. So he was already handicapped. I say you got to give him 3 years to start. And this is year one. So this is one. Next year's two. Next year's class is two. I say you got to give him to the 28 class till he starts being able to sell the product more. So I'm going to go with two. He's not going to win a championship with these three star players. You can't. So there's the transfer portal. I get it. But holistically, the recruiting and the transfer portal, the bringing in of elite players, et cetera, et cetera. I think he builds on that. And I think by 2028, he's getting five-star players. He lands an elite transfer portal at a position of need, that kind of stuff. Like he makes it a destination position, a destination university. Right now with James leaving and James being the marketing and selling and the, you know, that kind of thing, Matt's starting from behind. He's chasing the tail of the dog. So he's got to build it in his likeness and image in order to make it a destination. I'm confident he will because he's building it differently. Doesn't make it right or wrong. Doesn't make James wrong and Matt right. It's just he's going to build it differently and make it a destination the way he sees best for this. And I think he will. And I think by 2028, when you're talking the 2028 recruiting class and transfer portal, you're going to start to see more of that. I think my tune will change. But right now, I'm going to go with number two, Jason in Arlington. That's a great question.
It really is. And it hits the crux of the question we're getting about recruiting. And it's one that it concerns me also. I do believe that he's got to up the recruiting, get those four and five star guys. I do think a lot of the three-star guys coming in, he's recruiting a bit in the way he did when he was at Iowa State, which is we're going to use our own scouting process, and we're going to factor in the – and there's different ways to express it. He says, I'm getting guys who love football, want to play football. I think he's trying to get, you know, those guys who are the team players where when you put them all together – the sum is greater than the individual parts, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. I guess that's the expression I was looking for, but there's no doubt you got to up the recruiting if you're going to compete for Big Ten championships and national championships.
Matt can, this can be accelerated for Matt rapidly, very rapidly, Jimmy. And this is what I'm talking about. This could all, you know, I was talking about a three-year timeline. This could rapidly accelerate. This team could overperform. There is massive potential based on the schedule and the way their schedule's set up and the components and the way Matt's going about this. This team could massively overperform. What if they're 10-2, Jimmy? You know, Bill said, you know, 5-7 or 11-1, Bill from Millersburg in his question. What if they're 10-2 this year and go to the college football playoffs? Accelerated, hello, welcome to the next level, bang, right away. If this team that lacks elite talent collectively can overperform with a favorable schedule and become a playoff team, bang, he's accelerated it right there, done.
And Andy, the other part to that is related to what you're saying is none of these players have seen what a Matt Campbell Penn State football team looks like. Okay. Right. And there's no way because there has not been.
We don't know.
We haven't seen it yet. But that's a big factor in recruiting. And it's, as you put, it's a little late with this year's group. He's actually, I think, doing very well considering everything else starting from square one.
The hand he was dealt, he's playing it well. You're correct. The hand he's dealt, he's playing it extremely well. He can deal himself a better hand. This team can accelerate it. Massively. The schedule is so favorable. They could win 10 games. It's not unrealistic, and it wouldn't be a shock because the schedule's that favorable.
Exactly, Andy. All right, that is it for our Ask Andy segment. We have one more segment to go. We're going to get back to the returning Penn State players. Stay tuned for that.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four of our show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. The topic of the day is returning Penn State football players. We went through most of the offense. Andy, let's hit the last point, offensive line on offense. Then we'll get to the defensive side of the ball. The offensive line, I hadn't really thought about it this way, but three out of the five starters this year can be returning Penn State football players. It looks so like the right side of the line, real quick, is probably Cooper Cousins and Anthony Donka at right guard and right tackle. And there's a very good chance redshirt freshman Malachi Goodman could be your starting left tackle.
So there's eight guys coming back on the offensive line for Penn State. I think you have three potential starters. I think two are locks, Cooper and Anthony. I think Malachi Goodman could potentially be your left tackle. I think Dominic Rulli plays a sixth guy role if he doesn't win the job at center, right? I just feel you can mix and match the line. And I think the other four guys are just depth chart placeholders. That's pretty much it. That probably potentially two-thirds of this offensive line, I would say, arguably, if you go six or seven deep, I would say four of your six or seven deep are going to be Penn State guys.
And I agree. So I think it's definitely a majority, Andy. And on the offensive line, you really want to go at least two deep across the board. You want to have 10 guys. That's hard to do. I do think it's important for somebody else of the returning players, whether it's Owen Alessini or Garrett Sexton, one of them at least, to get onto that two deep and hopefully be a reliable backup. But at the very least, I do think you got three starters and Dominic Rulli, you know, in a fight for that starting center position at the very least. So I think Penn State is going to – returners are going to be well represented in that offensive line. I want to get over to the defensive side of the ball with the time I have. Go ahead,
Andy. You're going to skip the kicker? You're going to skip the kicker?
No.
Are you going to skip the kicker? Don't skip the kicker.
Ryan Barker, kicker, proved himself reliable, Andy. Huge, huge getting him back.
98% on – PATs, 95% on field goals, long of 49s. He does his job. Maybe one of the top three most valuable Penn State returning players on this entire football roster. Definitely is a top five of the Penn State players. Might be top three, Jimmy. I'm just going to say that. Okay, we're done with kicker. We can move on.
We've seen what happens when you don't have the kicker. All right, let's go to the defensive side of the ball, Andy. And much different than the offense. Offense, you can say, hey, this is Iowa State in so many important positions, quarterback, running back, tight end, wide receiver, the whole staff. Defense, you got a new coordinator. I think you also have to mention Terry Smith returning, and that becomes obvious when you look at the cornerback room, Andy.
Yeah,
this is a Penn State returning room.
I think your top three corners are all we put Zion Tracy in there. I think he's going to play a mixed role in that secondary, but he's a player. I think Zion Tracy, Darius Dixon, and Davian Collins are three of your five main guys. in the, you know, those guys are going to play. They're going to play consistent. I mean, Tracy's got 40 games under his belt coming into this year. Come on, Jimmy. I mean, Collins started every game last year and has played 34 games, got 76 tackles. Terry Smith is still there. These are his dudes, right? Dixon's a true freshman, you know, appeared in 13 games and started 2 games last year. That guy's going to play, right? Those cornerback will be Penn State familiar guys. You will know this, and Dion Tracy's going to be moved around in that secondary and used in many different roles because he can. Not because they have to, but because he can.
And I think Jahmyr Joseph should be mentioned also as getting an opportunity to play.
He's a second-year guy that you don't really know a lot about, but you know Terry kept him for a reason.
Right. And, yeah, you know, the overriding point of this show today, Andy, is, you know, that Penn State returning players, don't dismiss them, and nothing says that more than the cornerback room.
Yes, sir.
Kind of the flip side, safety, it's pretty much a changeover.
Yeah, I mean, there's one guy, Torrey's going to be there. He'll be, well, even be in the mix. I mean, there's at least three transfers ahead of him, right? And they're going to play. I think he's a depth chart placeholder again at this point in that room. That's it. It the safety position will be about the transfer guys.
I think Vabu Torre, who you mentioned, and I'm going to admit this straight up, Andy. I've been doing these live events where we get to interview players, and it creates a bias in me towards the players we get to talk to. You meet them, get to talk to them, impress with them off the field. Vabu was one of the players that we got to chat with, but it also allowed me to kind of drill down and see he got his first real opportunity to play in the bowl game, and he did very well in that game. So I think you might be underselling a little bit. Yeah, there are people ahead of him, but I think he might be in the rotation. Let's move to linebacker, Andy. To me, you always use the blended family comment. I think this linebacker position is really blended family. Huge get in getting Tony Rojas to return. Alex Tash, young player who got on the field because of injuries, I thought played pretty well. We're obviously bringing in players from Iowa State there who expect to play.
Two studs.
I'll throw in Cam Smith, who's a young player returning also, who's a depth piece, who has some promise there, Andy. But it took me a while. You've sold me on this linebacker position, and I'm beginning to agree with you. It is a strength, and I think Rojas especially and Alex Tash, there are going to be contributors from returning Penn State players.
Rojas will contribute, and Rojas will – the two Iowa State guys are such fundamentally solid major college football linebackers, and they're tackling machines. They're not exceptional at anything. They're very, very good at everything. They're going to allow Rojas to be that little bit of that free spirit, freewheeling, if he's healthy, you know, that sort of mistake-making, not as fundamentally sound as you'd like kind of linebacker. And that is where he flourishes in the best. You mentioned Alex Tash. He had to play because of injuries. They had to get him on the field. Yeah, he wasn't bad. But in this linebacker room, does he have a niche, like a blitzing linebacker or an edge pass rusher occasionally? Again, I think he's just a depth chart placeholder. I really do. Because I think the three in front of him, and they're going to play a lot of two linebacker sets and mix and match these guys because of the strength. I think it's Tony Rojas and Tony Rojas and Tony Rojas when you talk about Penn State returning players in this room, because I think these two Iowa State guys unlock him a little bit more.
And I do believe that Tony Rojas could be a special player. He has the ability to be that special player. So,
he does?
Yes. Yeah. I think there's no doubt about that. All right, let's Let's hit the defensive line, which may be, you know, the most interesting we kept for last. Let's start with the defensive ends. Max Granville, 2 years ago, showed us some potential, missed the season.
A little bit.
And Ivan Kamaju, another youngster, he showed us something this past year. Those are two guys who could contribute. LeVar Arrington moving from linebacker to DN is right now just project. A wild card. Yes.
Project. Yeah. So you're lit up about Kamaju. I don't get it yet. He's a developing talent. He didn't show much polish. He showed twitch and athleticism, but not much polish. Definitely no seasoning in his game. But that twitch and athleticism is there. You know, 5 tackles for a loss and 1.5 sacks in 11 games. He's got some bounce to him, but there's a lot of spit and polish that needs to go on that before it can stand up in the Big Ten week after week. And he's going to have to play. I mean, Max, yeah, 2 years ago, he played 7 games as a true freshman. He made 1 tackle. Okay, he missed all of last year with an injury. So, that's a far cry from where this position's been at Penn State. They just need to be somewhere in the zip code of average, Jimmy. That's all I think they need. They're going to ask and look for out of this group. If you ask for any more or look for any more, you might be setting yourself up for a little bit of failure there. The wild card is Kamaju. He's got that sort of flashy twitch that you like. Can it become a little more solid over the course of 12 games in a second year of college football? If that happens, there's a very good chance that this group can be in the zip code of average. But, you know, you don't have a lot to cook with here, but you have what you have, and that is what you're going to have to make chicken salad out of.
Andy, let's hit tackle in the minute we have left, which is probably about 50 seconds more than we need.
Right, backups. Backups.
You hope somebody steps up.
3 to 5 snaps a game out of somebody. Yeah, that's it. Anybody that should be on the field on a consistent basis that we can see right now. I don't see one.
Okay, you left yourself 30 seconds to wrap up the whole theory of the show with the contribution of Penn State returners, Andy.
Thanks, I appreciate that. On the defensive side of the ball, that is where the rubber's going to meet the road. It's going to be the Penn State guys at the key positions. Tony Rojas being an elite linebacker, defensive end. Your cornerbacks are going to be solid. They're going to need to be really good. You can expect that from them. The safeties are going to be on new. Offense is going to be Iowa State. They're east. There is more Penn State meat on this bone than you probably think of at first glance or could be sold on a national narrative. However, at the end of the day, there's still no top 100 draftable elite players really on this Penn State roster that you can see now. And that is the thing they have to overcome.
That's the final word. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.